right, buddy. Back again. Happy 4th, man. What an amazing barbecue you just put on for anybody that missed it.
Yeah. I mean, I think I gained 20 pounds on that one, Mike. We had a good time, man. I absolutely love – this is one of my favorite times of the year. Not only is it friends and family and cold beer and you don't have to worry if it's snowing outside or anything, but why I really like it, Mike, is football's right around the corner, you know? Yeah. I mean, when you grew up playing football, this weather reminds you of those two-a-days, you know? And you know what that means. Practice, couple of weeks, and then we're right in the thick of it.
Right, and that also means media days right around the corner.
Yeah.
And before we get to media days, that means SEC quarterback rankings.
Oh, yes. This is one of my favorite ones just because it's not my list. But I get tagged in it. And my favorite, I think my favorite part of the quarterback list is at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Because they don't point out the 8 you got right. They point out the 4 or 3 that you missed. So this, let me ask you before we jump into this one. It felt like last year was kind of a down year for quarterbacks. Is that crazy? I don't think there was as much hype around the quarterbacks as there is going into 2025. Do you feel that?
Oh, yeah. And I think that played a large factor in the SEC only getting 3 teams into the college football playoff, because there's a lot of casuals out there. And if you don't have a great quarterback, then all of a sudden you don't have a great team. Even though that's not necessarily the case, I think the last 4 national champions would dispute that. You know, they weren't necessarily great teams.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Michigan, and even Georgia, who had Stetson Bennett, you know, he's a legend in his own right, but it was not like Stetson Bennett was the team. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think we're getting back to the golden era of SEC quarterbacks. I'm looking at my list here, Shane. I got 16 of them. And, I mean, I think we go 15 deep this year. You know what I mean? So there's one guy I'm not sold on. We'll get to that in just a second. But I like to do these a little bit differently. You know, everybody's got their own way.
Yeah.
But this confuses the hell out of everybody. And that's kind of part of the fun of doing this list for me. But I'm projecting towards it. I know we're doing this in early July.
Yeah.
I am projecting, you know, if you were to look at this list in December, I'm trying to nail it in December, you know, how you'd have 1 through 16 quarterbacks in the SEC. So it's very much projecting who I think is going to have the best season. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think I ask this question every year that you do it. So let's say, and the way I'm understanding what you're trying to say is, let's say it's 1st of December.
Yeah.
We're going into a bowl game that I have to win, or let's say better yet, a playoff game. I go back there in the locker room, there's 16 SEC quarterbacks. Which one am I picking first? Which one am I picking last? Is that kind of
– yeah, not even necessarily draft or anything
that,
but I'm just trying to say who had the best season. Maybe not even stat-wise. Of course, that is a factor. But just, you know, stats aren't everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm right there with you. I think that's at the end of the day, because you may look at one guy that has better receivers, better offensive line, but take all of that away. 16 guys are in that locker room. You need to win this damn football game. Who you want taking the snap? I think that's exactly how you should look at this list.
All right, so number 16, Shane. No shade at this guy. I think every list we've done this offseason, we put this team last. I mean, I know they're motivated. I know they got a coach who makes a hell of a bourbon, but I'm going Zach Calzada, Kentucky. This will be his 3rd SEC school. Now, he's had some highlights. You know, several years ago, led Texas A&M to a huge upset over Alabama, went to Auburn for Brian Harsin. That didn't work out. He got injured. He never got to see the field. Now he's back in the conference. So at least Kentucky is going into the season with a guy that has SEC experience.
Yeah.
And this isn't even necessarily an anti-Calzada, but, you know, we've seen him.
Yeah.
He struggled. And this is more about overall Kentucky, the pieces around him. I just have so little faith in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I like the young freshman they had last year, Cutter Bowley, I think is how you say his name. I think he's the future. I understand. You know, Stoops is going into this year. His job's on the line. You can't go with the unproven guy. You got to go with the veteran.
Right.
So I'm not even convinced that Zach Calzada is our starting quarterback in December. I think it'll probably be Cutter Beaulieu. But for now, I got to put Zach Calzada 16.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's funny you mentioned Stoops because I'm kind of in the same boat. I don't know how hot that seat will be in December, but when you get that late in the year, I don't care how motivated you are, you got to have something to sell the boosters. And bringing in a young guy showing potential, that wouldn't blow my mind. In fact, Mike, you do this list every year. I think Calzada's been on it a couple of times, you know. But there's some guys that just don't finish the season. And I'm right there with you. It could happen, but somebody's going to get blamed for the losses that are about to come to Lexington. And I think Calzada may be that guy.
Right. All right. So number 15. Now, again, I said top 15. I think we got
Calzada sucks, but after that,
I didn't say that. But I'm just saying, I think we go 15 deep.
Yeah.
And again, maybe this is the curse of SEC Media Days, that SEC podcast. We had this guy on last year, spectacularly flamed out in Norman, Oklahoma. Now he's at Auburn, Jackson Arnold.
Damn.
So if I'm going all the way to 15 to Jackson, again, this is not anti-Jackson Arnold.
Yeah.
I think he's got a lot of talent. Some of it is his coach. And some of it is Deuce Knight, the true freshman. Yeah. Again, I'm not even 100% sold by the end of the year Jackson Arnold will be the starting quarterback. I think he will be because he's massively talented. But I've said it many times, Shane, I think that this is like the ultimate experiment in the conference this year.
Yes.
Jackson Arnold with these receivers, with a much better offensive line than what he had in Norman, he could be the breakout star of the entire conference. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me also, though, if he's turnover prone, and we know Hugh Freeze loves to throw quarterbacks under the bus. Loves to flip-flop him. He may Jackson Arnold, he may destroy Jackson Arnold's confidence.
Yeah.
If Jackson Arnold struggles against Baylor week one, you know, they got at Oklahoma week four. I mean, these are games that if he doesn't have a good performance, you know, that could really shake his confidence. So I just don't know where to put Jackson Arnold. I believe in his talent. I don't believe in the spot he's at.
Let's just say, you know, because I'm leaning more toward the ceiling probably than you are. Mm-hmm. If he hit that, if he hit what you think could be the ceiling, how high up would he be on this list?
Maybe top five.
Yeah, because I don't know. There's a part of me that feels like he's kind of one of those kids that were drafted in the NFL by a struggling Detroit Lion team or something.
Right.
And you're like, hey, don't worry. He's going to be behind a senior vet. And then all of a sudden, week three, they're like, put the young kid in. And then he just dies out there. Part of me feels like that's what happened. There was moments last season that I saw some real potential. I remember the Alabama game.
Yep.
But then again, I was at the Mizzou game. Yeah. And I seen the floor, and the floor is pretty low. And it, you could blame the line, you could blame the receivers and injuries, but at the end of the day, he was the one that put his team in a predicament there, you know?
We're getting attacked by the birds. It's like Alfred Hitchcock's the birds over here, you know what?
Oh, shit, I don't know what happened there. But I will say this, man. I do think that this is a kid –
there's a bunch of nests.
Yeah, man, I guess you do have them here, huh?
Yep.
This is dangerous. I'm going to get the bird flu over here doing a damn podcast. Here's the thing I'll say, last thing I'll say on Jackson is, great kid. This is Mike's list, not my list, so I hope to see you at the booth, you know, this week. But more importantly.
I mean, it's not crazy, though, to have him this low, is it?
I think so.
Is it?
I think so because this is a prime candidate, not for a Heisman, but like, what do you call it when you're bad one year, then you have, what do they call that?
Like a rebound?
Yeah, like, what's the word though?
Breakout?
Like just a breakout candidate, somebody that kind of flip flops expectations.
Right, but see, I think you're just looking at it as I look at your beer. That's a half full beer. I'm looking at it as a half empty. I mean, isn't it just as likely where he, again, Look at the schedule. At Baylor, week one. Yeah. At Oklahoma, week four. Couldn't you see one of those games, if not both, where he has, like, multiple turnovers and the fans are like, man, this guy, you know what I mean? Like, he could go either way. So how do you rate someone that could go either way?
And you know, it's funny you mentioned Calzada. Yeah. I think it's kind of a similar boat, too, because everybody knows what's behind Jackson. You know, there's another kid that that has potential. The grass is greener. And I hope that, you know, his confidence doesn't get rattled early. But you're right. Oklahoma's got some tough games early in the season. And honestly, it's between – it's Auburn, man. Auburn's going to dictate how successful he's had, because it may be an Auburn situation like Bo Nix, where he leaves – the SEC, and then all of a sudden we're like, damn, he finally figured it out. Well, no, he just – he never had a chance to breathe in this conference because we expected so much from him. So, I'm a glass half full with him, and I feel like you're wrong on this list.
That beer's half empty, let me just tell you. All right, now here's where I'm going to lose you, if I haven't already. I'm going to lose this entire fan base. I've kind of – I've already sold them down the river this offseason, so I'm just going to stay consistent. Bo Prabula, Missouri, number 14. And again, this isn't like anti. I put him higher than Jackson Arnold, but I don't know where to place this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you? I watched him play Penn State against Wisconsin. He looked solid. That's literally the only game where he played any significant snaps. He was a situational guy, so I think he'll be a very effective running the football.
Yeah.
This is SEC, and we're expecting a good year for quarterbacks. Doesn't mean he's not going to be a good quarterback, but I mean, just look at some of the best quarterbacks in recent SEC history, like Joe Burrow, like Jaden Daniels, and I'm talking transfers, even Spencer Rattler. I mean, the list, Hendon Hooker, the list goes on and on and on. When I say those names, you think, well, hell, those were excellent quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
But it was usually year two where it kind of clicked. Mm-hmm. Those guys, even though they had moments year one, and I'm not saying they would have been like the 14th quarterback in the conference, but it's very hard to predict what they were year one. You know, we kind of forget the learning curve. Mm-hmm. And naturally, there's going to be a learning curve for Bo with new running backs, new receivers. They've got some quality offensive linemen, but they lost three starting offensive linemen as well. So just so many pieces. And even a Missouri fan that is so high on his team, what do they tell you? Our defense is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And they could be. You know, but I don't think the offense, particularly at quarterback, is going to be what leads them this year.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to be awful, but I just don't know what it's going to be. And I think it'll take several weeks for him to kind of find his footing as a starting quarterback in this conference.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think they expected too much or relied too much on Brady Cook last year.
Right.
Hell, even the year before. I think they get back to what Drink ultimately wants to do is keep the football, move the football, keep the defense off the field,
right.
You know, and they're going to lean heavy on that running game. And that's one thing I do like about Prabula is I feel like he is one of the most athletic quarterbacks that they've had up there in a while. And he could take a beating too. He's if you watch some of his videos, he's not afraid to lower his shoulder. He's not afraid to hit somebody, which I don't want him to hit him because we don't want him hurt. You know what I'm saying? But he's kind of got that in him, that dog where he just wants to get those extra yards. And I like that just because I think it fits what the culture they've created there. But I think at the end of the day, I'm kind of with you here, maybe not this low, because I love Mizzou and you don't. I feel like at the end of the day, when we get to December, I don't feel like we look back and say it's because of Prabula. I think we look at it, it's because of Hardy. It's because of the defense. It's because of ABC. It's one of the receivers took out Coleman or something, you know, just had a great breakout season. There's so many other guys that could be that candidate. I just feel like they need somebody that doesn't screw it up. And that's – you know, I never saw that. I mean, you can watch the highlight reels, but they're going to get second team a lot of times, and it's hard to say he can win a game. This is one that I could see moving up your list just by stacking some victories under his belt.
Yeah, and I mean, hell, if they go 10-2 and make the playoff, but they don't throw it all over the yard, I mean, I think Missouri fans will take that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think you'd sit here and say, well, I take that damn quarterback over everybody. You know what I mean? It's just if he's kind of like a caretaker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that doesn't mean he's bad.
Yeah.
It just means he didn't screw it up. And sometimes that's the biggest challenge. And I know they get tired of hearing about the schedule. If they got to win one or two key games. If they take care of the ones they're favored in, they are going to the playoff.
Yeah.
And that's what you need. You need someone that's not going to be careless with the football.
I still think you're a little low on him.
All right, this one you're going to hate, Shade, but I got a ton of faith. And we've not talked much about this team because there's just not much to talk about. But I always like to talk about their head coach as a play caller, an offensive mind. Give me Blake Shapen, Mississippi State, number 13. I know Mississippi State, 2-10. I think they're going to be much improved. But you can say a lot of bad things about Jeff Lebby and Mississippi State, but you can't say he's not an elite developer and play caller, particularly for the quarterback position. With Michael Van Buren last year, true freshman, forced onto the field, he had his moments. Blake Shapen was shaping up to be that guy before, unfortunately, he was lost for the season. Yeah, he got injured. So if he can stay healthy, again, they're not going to be, you know, competing for the conference. It's, you know, no-brainer there. But I think they're going to be very effective at quarterback. I think he's going to put up a ton of production, yards, touchdowns. You know, it's going to be like an early Josh Heupel, Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss offense where they're going to try to outscore everybody they play. I think that's their only path to success. So I think Blake Shapen, I think he's going to surprise a lot of people this fall.
At the end of the day, let's say in this scenario, where do you think he would rank in the SEC for yards thrown? Because it seems like he'd be pretty high in this system.
Yep, top five.
Yeah. I do think there'll be games. I think there'll be games that he is – because I was like you. Up to that Florida matchup, I saw it. There was moments. I'm like, man – they get some more talent around him. You know, we weren't thinking of Van much. I mean, hell, then Van comes out. You got to ask yourself, is it, you know, is the student or the teacher? And I guess as a State fan, you'd be looking more toward, hey, we've got a system here. We're going to have to marinate it a little bit. So second year, though, I mean, it's not like he went somewhere and came back.
Right.
You know, he'll be second year in this system. And that's usually when you have that big step forward. So how close was Pribula in this one here? What was the deciding factor to move him above?
Just belief in Jeff Lebby and that offense, that they're going to put up numbers and they're going to be productive. I mean, literally every quarterback he's worked with has found success. Yeah. And we have seen it before. He's done it at Baylor. He did it early at Mississippi State. That gives me enough confidence to know that he's going to be able to do it this, again, provided he stays doesn't get injured. But I mean, we could say that for literally every quarterback on this list. But whereas Bo Prabilia, I mean, who knows? He could come out here and just—he's not going to be awful, but he could be. You know, he could come out here and just be—it's not yet ready for this. I put a little bit more stock in the players that we've actually seen something.
You know, he'll probably finish the season as long as he stays healthy. I mean, there's another little quiet quarterback. You know, challenge if, or you know what I'm saying? It's like that room's not secured over in Missouri. I get that. Yeah. But again, Missouri fans, this is Mike's list, not mine.
could be Sam Horton. You know, he could be amazing.
I'm just saying. I mean, how many times we wanted to crown that kid? So what if he comes out here and saves the day?
Right. Yeah. So that was a factor too. All right. Now, this number 12, I feel horrible for this, Shane, because he's one of my favorite players. He's not going to put up a ton of stats. You know how they say, like, and I feel like this is like a disservice to him by what I'm about to say, but you remember for years and years, it doesn't matter where Mike Leach was, his quarterback's like astronomically putting up statistics, right?
Yeah.
And you say, well, that's the system. That's a system quarterback. I think this guy is the perfect system quarterback for the system he's in, and that doesn't take shots at him because I think as soon as he graduates and enters retirement. I mean, I think the system will implode perhaps, but I got to go Diego Pavia, Vanderbilt. Again, hey, he's just a damn football player. Like, I hate that cliche, you know, of like, well, he's just a damn linebacker, quarterback. But he kind of is. You know, he is that guy. He runs his mouth. I love it.
Yeah.
I want to put him a little bit higher on this list, but and I don't know if this is fair, but like put him on Mississippi State. I don't know that he's doing anything. Put him on Missouri. I don't know that he's, you know, he'd probably be third string.
Yeah.
Now is that, I don't know what to do with Diego Pavia. Like he's not gonna put up gaudy stats, but probably Vanderbilt probably wouldn't trade him for maybe any quarterback in the conference. You know, so I just don't know where to put him. I love the guy. I think he's awesome. I feel bad for even putting him number 12, but that's where I'm putting him.
Yeah, if leadership attributes were on the video game, he'd be 99. Yes. You know, I mean, there is something to be said with, you know, just being a natural born leader.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you don't need him for the whole game, but one drive, I'd probably put him up there, you know. But I'm with you. I you know, because there was moments when they kind of forced him to throw the football.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it was a one-trick pony, but it felt like it at times. And, you know, the videos are out. We kind of know how the system works. I do love the leadership. I love the confidence that he's – that the culture that they've created up there in Nashville. I think that's fantastic. But I maybe have him even lower than that just because he always reminds me of those guys that after high school football – They start like a, you know, not a flag football league, but like a tackle league with their buddies. You know what I'm saying? But he's been quarterback there for 8 years. And we're like, dude, what do you do for a living? So I feel like that's kind of what Pavia – he's just a gamer.
Yeah.
He'll always be an athlete, whatever sport. Like if he gives up football, he'll go golfing, and then he'll like own the course record to where he's at because he's just got that dog in him. But, yeah, this is a super talented – deep quarterback room this year, and I'm right there with you. Surprise. I mean, we had him probably at 16 last year, pretty close to it.
I'm sure I did.
So yeah, I mean, being on this list that 12, I mean, that's showing improvement for sure.
You said 99 leadership, 99 clutch too. Yeah. And if there was a party attribute, 99,
yeah.
I think when his career's over, he might be opening a bar in Nashville or something.
He's not leaving Nashville. Yeah. He'll be your neighbor forever.
All right, this might get controversial.
We're already there, Mike.
I didn't know where to put this guy. Maybe I'm kind of repeating myself a little bit, but this is belief in the system. This is belief in the coach and the team around him. Number 11, Joey Aguilar, Tennessee. And I might even put him higher if he was there for spring football.
Yeah.
But I might even put him higher if I knew for a fact he was going to be the starting quarterback for all 12 games. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. These are all unknowns. But I think there are – and I've said this before, and this is not hate on Joe Milton or Nico, but I think there's parts of his game that he has that those guys didn't.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean he's a better player, better quarterback, but I think he unlocks something in the Tennessee offense, particularly the downfield passing accuracy. And those guys, again, this is not blasting them, but both Joe Milton and Nico at times seemed hesitant to be a gunslinger.
Yeah.
Now, you don't want that all the time because that's how – well, hell, I guess it didn't really matter. I was going to say that's how a team like Arkansas, they beat you anyway. But that's how the teams you should be beating beat you if you turn it over a bunch. So you don't want them out here just being – playing hero ball.
Yeah.
But to beat Georgia, to beat Alabama on the road, maybe Florida on the road, you might need them to play some hero ball. You need a quarterback that's going to fire that fucking football in there. And I think this guy is the guy to potentially get it. And all Josh Heupel does is produce elite quarterback, or at least he has been till Nico. But I think that's more of a Nico problem, given Heupel's track record.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not saying that it takes rocket science to figure out Josh Heupel's system, but you know, I've also heard that he's a pretty intelligent little cat. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think that also helps. And maybe, you know, doesn't have as much that hesitancy because he knows his checks and balances, if you will.
Right.
So I'm pumped up just because, you know, when you see 4,000 yard quarterback coming in, you're like, you throw him in this system. That's what is that going to look like? Because that's
working
one thing.
With better receivers than he's ever worked
absolutely.
With. Better linemen, better running backs.
Quarterbacks make wide receivers look better, you know, and vice versa. And I do think, you know, there was a kind of a hard reset in that wide receiver room hard reset on that offensive line. There's some concerns for me, mainly in front of them, but they addressed it with the portal. They addressed it with, you know, they got one of the biggest damn offensive linemen coming in, you know, freshman. And I do think Tennessee gets slept on a little bit. But at the end of the day, if you're going to make another playoff run, we're going to sit here and say Aguilar did it. And there's going to be some games. I can already tell you right now, Mike, there's going to be some games we absolutely love the kid. And there's going to be some we want to throw that damn beer bottle to the damn TV, you know. But what do you want? I want a gunslinger. I want somebody that gives at least that threat downfield so that we don't have the box loaded and when we turn around and run the football. So, right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next chapter of Tennessee football.
All right, top 10, Shane. Now, here's where it gets tricky because the last couple and then the next couple, no idea how to rate these guys. Yeah. Number 10, I'm going.
You said couple, so like the next two or next three?
Well, four, including this guy.
Okay.
Give me Ty Simpson, Alabama. Uh-huh. Again, I don't even know if he's going to be the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Don't know if he's going to be the starting quarterback for all 16. They're bringing in the five-star Keelan Russell. He could be the guy. But when they exit spring and say, yeah, this he'd be the starter if we started today, that tells me he's kind of light years ahead of the other quarterbacks,
Yeah. Which
he should be. He's been there. He's the more veteran option. He was pretty highly prolific himself coming out of high school. This is confidence in Kalen DeBoer. This is confidence in them returning offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb and really all the weapons around him. And I can't sit here all off season and say Alabama's going to be much improved, my team to win the SEC. Hell, Feinbaum made me save my pick to win the national championship. And they not have a top 10 quarterback, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I will go Ty Simpson number 10. I think his ceiling's probably up much higher.
Right.
But he's another one, like, I almost feel – like 10 is maybe too high, but again, I'm projecting ahead. I'm looking at my crystal ball.
Yeah.
I think he'll be pretty solid for Alabama this year.
Yeah. I it almost feels like old school Alabama, you know, really good defense. Right. And it's like McRoy or something, you know. Just, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Nobody was couldn't wait to see him in the NFL, but he turned out to be a really good quarterback. And I'm not – I hate that word system quarterback because I don't think that's what neither one of those guys would be. But there's going to be some games he's going to have to win. And like you, I do hear that this kid, as patient as he is all Alabama and has his moment. You know, this is what he waited for. And you don't see that much anymore in this land of transfer portal. You know, this is what happened at Alabama. You wait a few years, you get your shot, you win titles. And I feel like this is setting a precedent of what can be maintained down there. So, yeah, I'm with you. The reason I wouldn't have the ceiling higher is just because we haven't seen it.
Right.
But Lord knows the talent's there.
Right.
All right, number 9. Again, this is another one. I don't know where to put him, but I think he's criminally underrated. Give me Marcel Reed, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
I'd feel a little bit better about him if we had more continuity at receivers. They basically lost everybody, minus Terry Bussey's back, but only his second year as a receiver. I think A&M's going to be fantastic rushing the football. And, hell, he had his moments. Yeah. I mean, again, A&M fans get pissed off that all these other quarterbacks get hype and he doesn't. He had his moments. They would have got destroyed by LSU if not for him. He got them all the way back in Auburn. They fell short. Southern Cal, when he left the field, they were winning, so you can't blame that on him. I think Marcel Reed is very, very underrated at number 9.
Yeah, and I'm seeing him a little bit more at the podium. You know, he's getting a little bit more confidence. I feel like he's not so young-ish, if you will. I think second year in the system, that's one thing. You know, he was one of those that just got thrown in the fire,
right.
And he did well. He made mistakes, but – you know, unlike some of these other quarterbacks, he had a chance to learn. And I think second year in the system, this is a guy that has a very high ceiling. I mean, if you're building a quarterback on you know, college football is about to come out.
Right.
Texas A&M is going to get picked up a lot because of the speed and athleticism that he brings to the football field. But he's another running back that they have to keep an eye on. And that helps some of those receivers downfield. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to – seeing the next chapter here, because this is his job. There is no competition here. He's going to go out here and seize the day. And if A&M is going to get over this 8-4 bubble, we're going to look back and say this is because of Marcel Reed.
Yeah, I think you hit on something important. All the snaps were first team in spring, fall. I think he didn't get any last year. Yeah. So I think that could be huge for him.
Yeah, very good.
And obviously year two offensive system for everybody, not just him.
Yeah.
Which that really helps as well.
Well, the depth, you know, they did bring a lot more. That offensive line, you talk about an experienced group. I don't know if they're called the Maroon Goon yet, but if they have the success that I think they can have, that's just going to bode well for his success.
Yeah. All right, number eight. I told you, these guys are all difficult to peg. Yeah. Give me Austin Simmons, Ole Miss. We saw him a drive against Georgia. Looked like $1 million.
Yeah.
That's going to be like an infamous drive, you know. There's going to be Ole Miss fans 50 years from now. Remember that drive Austin Simmons had to let him right down the field? You know, hopefully that's not the highlight of his career. Hopefully the highlight's this year. But Ole Miss replacing a ton. Got a ton of faith in Lane Kiffin, though, to generate some offense here. So what to do with Austin Simmons? I think he's going to have his ups and downs.
Yeah.
But obviously number eight in the conference, so I think more ups and downs. But I just think that's natural. That's going to come to where, you know, there's going to be a steep learning curve. You just lost a first-round NFL draft pick, and I just think it's asinine to think you're just going to upgrade at quarterback.
Well, and not to mention, I know we're talking quarterbacks, but the defense, you know, that defense last year was absolutely loaded and gave Jackson ample opportunities to fix mistakes he made and make him look better. What does that look like? You talk about returning production. They got a whole new defensive front over there. So, yeah, I'm kind of concerned a little bit. I think I do this every year with Ole Miss, except maybe last year, that, you know, all these new guys, what if they don't figure it out? What if they just quit halfway through the season and then they turn around and win 10 games? So I do think that that's in the cards here. Any quarterback that's involved with Lane Kiffin, I'm going to buy stock in. And, yes, there was the infamous drive, but it also showed what kind of talent he possesses. And this is a guy that just – we didn't see much of him. He absolutely could be a top five quarterback at the end of the year. It's just – and they got the schedule to do it. I mean, Ole Miss has got a lot of things in their pocket, if you will, to have a successful season. It's just they got so many question marks around him. That's why I'm a little hesitant to move him up the list.
All right, number seven. Again, this is the last where it's like so hard to peg him. Gunnar Stockton, Georgia.
Yeah.
I think he's underrated. All the weapons, they've invested heavily in the portal. They add some elite freshmen. Of course, they do that every year, but that doesn't seem to help. I'm a little concerned. Offensive line transition. I'm a little concerned that he's not done it in a full-time capacity. And the one game we did see him full-time last year, Notre Dame, they lost in large part to him getting strip sacked. So, again, this is more of a leap of faith than anything. But I see Georgia being dominant again. And clearly you're not going to be dominant without a solid quarterback play. He's waited his time. Mike Bobo has been on this guy since – he was like 8th, 9th grade. Yeah. So he's perfect fit for the system. I think Gunnar Stockton is going to have a really, really good debut season.
Well, and unlike Beck, I do think I like the receivers that he's got around him a lot more this season. And, I mean, Georgia always has talent. All that defense is always loaded. But and don't get me wrong, they got a great tight end room, but – I mean, how fun is that to talk about, you know, year after year, like, hey, we got some great tight ends. No, we want some damn studs to throw to on the outside. You know, when you watch a Alabama game or an old school LSU game, you know, I was watching one the other day with Jamar Chase. I was just like, golly, just freak athletes. And I feel like Georgia has a few of those on the roster this season. And I think that bodes well with what Bobo wants to do and what Gunner can do. That's another kid. You talk about throwing in the fire. I mean, could you imagine getting called up in the SEC championship? And, oh, by the way, you got to play the college football playoffs. Oh, by the way, the success of this team is going to rest on your shoulders. That's a lot of pressure, man. Right. And you know, obviously the Notre Dame game, you look back, I was more pissed off about the offensive line than I was Gunner. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, this is a kid that has the ability. He has the potential around him. And at the end of the day, if you like putting Heisman odds, this is when you may want to put your money on it, because Georgia's making a run. And whether they win it or not will be determined on how good Gunner is.
Yeah. All right, number six, Shane.
Yeah. Well, you already did Tennessee, though.
God's gift to football, Shane.
They're
crowning his ass. He's the best quarterback. Did you hear what Peyton said the other day? He makes throws I can never make. Blah, blah, blah. Arch Manning doesn't make the top five, Shane. Give me number six, Texas Longhorns. I don't know. I mean, I think he'll be fantastic. You know, I think he's coming back for he's going to need to come back for another year, I think, Shane. But maybe in 2 years he'll be God's gift of football, Heisman favorite, all that. I think there's going to be some ups and downs. Offensive line is completely retooled. New receiving core. At Ohio State week one, there's some tricky games there. At Florida, Oklahoma, Texas A&M. I don't know. Those are the games we're going to judge Arch Manning this year.
Yeah.
Not Sam Houston and, you know, they got a stretch. Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, Kentucky. Like, he'll put up nice yards in those games, but I'm not ready to anoint old Arch yet.
You hear them birds? Even Mother Nature's pissed off. You know what I'm saying? This is Mike's list, not mine. No.
How high would you put Arch? Number one?
No, I wouldn't put him number one just yet. But he's in the top three for me. Yeah, without a doubt. The kid is already there. I get it. I absolutely understand.
Because he smoked ULM?
But he does bring something that Texas quarterbacks haven't had in a while, and that is a true dual threat. And
Spurrier said, how come he couldn't unseat seventh rounder Quinn Ewers?
I mean, he didn't want to be in a video game, man. He knows his place. He's let Ewers end his run here, and then yeah. I'll come in there and do my spot. No, I feel like at the end of the day, if you were having an NFL draft, Arch would be the first quarterback probably drafting.
Yeah, but that's not what this is.
I know. I'm just saying that's the potential that they see in this kid, not just in the NFL, but I also see it in this season, upcoming season. And a lot of it has to do with the scheduling. Yes, they got Ohio State. If they drop Ohio State, I'm not going to penalize Arch Manning. I'm going to penalize him if he loses Texas A&M. You know, at the end of the season, because this is a Texas team that's going to have some growing pains because they have retooled, but they're talented. They got the roster for it, man. You know, hell, they spent what, $80 million for that thing down there. You know, you don't spend all that money to have a bad football team.
Yep.
And I do think that Arch Manning, at the end of the day, if I go back there and I'm picking a quarterback, it's his potential and it's his leadership. People look up to him. Kids look up to him. That roster looks up to him. He's got that Manning in him. You know what I'm saying? And I think that bodes well. So, yeah, I would probably put Arch maybe two.
I think if he doesn't win the Heisman and they don't win the national championship,
yeah,
I think there's going to be some people and maybe a lot of people that think he's a disappointment.
Oh, without a doubt.
That's crazy Texas, expectations, you know?
But the pressure.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this on another show, many shows, that which quarterback has the most pressure coming into the season. I would say Arch Manning is at the top of that list just because, hell, we were watching highlight reels of this kid in middle school saying, can you imagine what this kid's going to look like when he – I mean, why did we not sign him? I was a Tennessee, you know, Tennessee fan. Why haven't we got a Manning coming up here? But yeah, I feel like this is a kid that if he doesn't – win a national championship, if he doesn't win a Heisman, then something happened, you know, something went wrong and a lot of pressure. But I do think that at the end of the day, the kid can handle it because he's been handling it his whole life.
And could you see this scenario playing out similar to Tennessee last year where they have a dominant defense and they kind of run the ground game and just rely on the defense to get to the college football playoff, maybe the SEC championship, and they're not exactly relying on Arch to score four touchdowns a game to win. You know what I mean? So it's almost like his numbers won't be that impressive. Maybe he doesn't have a ton of great individual performances because they're wise enough to know we don't need that from him until maybe the college football playoff. Could you see a scenario like that?
I can.
I'm already thinking four steps ahead.
Last thing you want is, just like Quinn, a banged-up quarterback, right. You know. Even though I just joked about how – I mean, hell, he ran over, what, 20 miles an hour? I still can't believe that. I still should have seen it. And, you know, I don't even drive that fast in my neighborhood. So, I would like to see that. But if
like you break out that version against Ohio State week one, maybe not, but Oklahoma, at Florida, A&M.
To determine if Arch is the best quarterback in this conference, we'll know halftime of the first game.
You think?
I think so. I think we'll see it. We saw bits and pieces of him last season, but I just feel like going up there to the shoe, coming out with a big victory. Yeah. So
you're basically saying by halftime, I could be getting old takes exposed.
Oh, without a doubt. Dude, they already queued this thing. This video, when you put it out, will have twice as many bookmarks as it does likes.
All right, so number five, Shade. Another legend, growing legend. Jabateer, Oklahoma.
Oh, brother.
I think he's going to light the world on fire. They're singing his praises. I mean, it's almost like the hype's gotten too out of control out of Norman, what they've got there. I like the fact that they hired the offensive coordinator, the quarterback coach, so that continuity is there with him at least. He scored 40 touchdowns, what have you, at Washington State last year. He's following the Cam Ward pipeline to Oklahoma. I think John Mateer is going to be a game changer for the Sooners this fall.
John Mateer over Arch Manning. I still can't believe it. I like John Mateer. I really do. And one of the things I like about John Mateer is he is a gamer.
Yeah.
You know, like he's not – I don't think that he leads quarterback efficiency by the end of the season. I don't think he has the highest QBR rating. But I do think that if you need a drive and you're going back there and you need a guy to get that yard, whether it's run it or throw it, John Mateer's at the pretty damn close to the top of that list. So, yeah, I'm not blown away by this take at all. In fact, the more Oklahoma folks I talk to, the higher he gets on my list as well, just because of some of the – not just him, but some of the help he's going to have around him. The main thing for me, man, is just can they stay healthy? Can they – you know, can he stay healthy? Because he's going to be asked to do a lot, and he will do a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're getting – beat up by the Southeastern Conference players, you know, you can't, I don't know if you could go 12 just rolling your shoulders. So, top five, though. I mean, that's pretty impressive for what Oklahoma did last year to what – Oklahoma's pissed off. They're like, top five. It's not good enough for them to be top five in the SEC, which most likely would be top, what, six in the country for quarterbacks. You know,
right.
I'll take that any day, but – But, yeah, I still think you're a little low on him and Arch Manning.
I'm too low on all of them. Well, I bet this one you're going to love. You haven't loved many of these. I think this guy's criminally underrated. I think he's not getting talked about nationally enough. I think he's one of the best potential quarterbacks in all the country this season. Give me Talen Green, Arkansas.
Yeah.
And again, this doesn't mean Arkansas is going to finish top three in the conference, but I think Taylor's going to carry them to a win or two that they probably, I don't want to say don't deserve, but like we don't see coming because he has such a great performance. I wish he was a little bit more consistent. I think we'll see that year two, where in year two with Bobby Petrino and the Arkansas Razorbacks, I'm quite nervous about his receivers. But I'd rather have an elite quarterback than elite receivers than vice versa. So, Talen Green, number four, he can run it, he can throw it, he can do everything, and he's going to have to if Arkansas is going to have a good record this year.
Well, I've been high on this kid for a while now, and just because I've seen the ceiling firsthand, and this kid has it, I'm right there with you. There was some growing pains early in the season last year. There were some injuries. There was, you know, lack of talent around him, but he made it work. And they were in a lot of football games. I think, I mean, how many, what, three one-possession games or something like that that they lost? But I feel like they wouldn't even have been in that situation if it weren't for him. So this is a classic I pull you from Arkansas, I put you here scenario. And I feel like if you do that, if Ohio State had this kid right now in the locker room, he'd be not only be starting, but we'd also be talking about them making a back-to-back run in the national championship. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. This guy's super, super talented. I think the most important piece here is second year in Bobby Petrino's system. Hopefully that offensive line, you know, we got a lot returning there. If we could keep him healthy, keep him upright, make sure he, you know, he's got to have that clock. That's one thing that he was bad at is maybe holding on to football. I think they led or second most sacks in the conference last year. And a lot of that may be just because he was looking too long. But if he can kind of get that part figured out, this is a guy that will have success beyond college football. So, yeah, I absolutely love is it Talon? Taylen Green.
I think he's a sneaky sleeper for Heisman.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and which is stupid that you got to – well, I guess, I don't know, Colorado kind of broke the mold last year, but yeah. We can't put Taylen on defense at all, can we?
He might have to. All right, so one out of 16 I got right, Gordon DeShade. Number three, give me Garrett Nussmeier, LSU. And I feel bad even putting him this low. I don't quite know where to put him. Again, he's not quite a statue back here, but he's not going to kill you with his legs. Yeah. But I could imagine him leading the SEC in passing yards. Mm-hmm. I think he's another one. NFL loves him. They love him down in Baton Rouge. He could be the breakout star of all of college football this year. Yeah. Came back for a reason. He's getting paid the big bucks for a reason. They've ramped up the receiving core around him. My biggest concern is not even him. It's the offensive line.
Yeah.
Which, again, that's not his fault. But I think he could be number one by the end of this season.
Yeah, I think statistically this is your leader. And I hope that they don't rely on his arm as much. You know, this is one of those teams that I'd love to get back to running the damn football a little bit here. And a lot of that has to do with the defense. You know, not – so if they can put some more three and outs, then maybe they can hold on to it a little bit longer. But at the end of the day, if people – this is the crazy part. It's like the NFL, they can't wait to get their hands on this kid. You know what I'm saying? But I'm like you, man. College football is a little bit different. And thus, yes, statistically he'll lead, but is that the guy that I want – is that the first pick I'm going to make in that locker room? No. I think third, fourth spot is a good spot for him. Again, you're still top five in the country. You're still going to be a day one draft in the NFL. You're probably going to have a long tenure in the NFL as well. But I just feel like we've seen the ceiling. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like some of these guys that you're about to mention, I don't think we've seen the uncorked potential, and I think we've seen the ceiling in us.
Yeah, so we're just down to two, so it's kind of obvious here, but yeah. Number two, give me DJ Lagway, Florida. And again, this is assuming that he's plays the whole year. You know, I don't want to sit here and injury every quarterback, but if he's healthy, we've seen enough. He's incredible downfield throwing. I know the numbers were not it always fascinates me how people just look at numbers with no context. Struggling Florida. I mean, they were literally a game away from firing their coach. Yeah. True freshman, thrown into action, beats back-to-back playoff teams and kills their playoff chances.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think DJ Lagway, all offseason I've been debating this one, one or two. And I almost feel like two is too low, but give me DJ Lagway. I could legitimately see him winning the Heisman this year.
I feel like we're a year away. We're not going to talk injuries or anything like that, but I just feel like there were moments, like you said, the LSU, the Florida, Ole Miss game,
yep.
You know, those those were wins, and they weren't pretty at times, but there were some pretty plays in them. And I feel like that's where I got a little – and I think we all did – got a little mesmerized there. But this is still, I feel like, a kid that needed another – like a full year. He wasn't the starter last season. So this is another Marcel Reed, you know, situation where now he's got all the reps. He's got all – but – is he taking them? You know, is he taking advantage of this time? I'd like to think so. Right. And if he can do that, this is a sneaky good wide receiver room, really good offensive line. I feel like this is a Florida team that's poised for a breakout. Very, very tough season. You know how I am with the Florida Gators, man. And if you're just catching it, I'm not a fan of them. That's why I'd probably have them a little bit lower here, because I think DJ could be number one next year. But I would have him probably at number four, number five right now. Wherever you put Arch Manning, that's where I'd put him, you know.
Well, that may have been a decider for me with him not being fully available for spring. Status kind of up in the air right now. If he was getting all the snaps, I'd probably put him number one. But I'm putting Lenore Sellers, number one, South Carolina. I'm enamored with him. He's got a rocket arm. I can't believe how many people don't realize the arm talent he has just because he is such a dynamic running threat. I mean, he is the – I always hate when they throw out these comparisons that are so off the mark. I mean, there's been about 50 Cam Newtons, the next Cam Newton since Cam Newton, but I think Lenore Sellers is like the first one that is actually to that caliber. And Cam Newton led a team to a national championship, didn't have a single – player, I don't believe, on the offense that got drafted other than Cam Newton. So that's a lot for Lenore Sellers to live up to, but he put the team on his back late in the season. They got red hot. If he's another one. We've said this before, from game one to game 12, no one, probably in all of college football, but certainly in the SEC, no one took a bigger leap than him in year one. So just imagine where he could be by the end of year two if he takes a similar jump. He will be the number one overall pick, I think, if he makes that same jump this year. You know, there's the ceiling is unlimited for Carolina if Lenore Sellers continues to play as well as he did late last year.
I think that's the big one for me, was the development. You know, when he was thrown into action early in the season, you know, there was it South Carolina State? Was that the – I probably shouldn't even mention it. It was – what was that first one?
Old Dominion?
Was it Old Dominion? See, I don't even remember.
The defense got the trucking like 12 company sacks. Came
in. Yeah. I was like, this is –
and they won by like 3 points or something.
But from that point to what I saw with Clemson, you talk about a Cam Newton highlight. That was it. The infamous where he put his hand down, and that was Clemson 2.0 in my opinion. And that was a guy that just said, we ain't losing to this damn team. And and that's what I liked, is just the progression he made throughout the year. We watched this kid grow up. When they played Texas A&M, I was like, this looks like a three-year vet out here. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, continue that. The only concern I have, obviously, they lost their coordinator, but they did stay internal, you know, bringing Shula in. So, what kind of relationship do they have? You know, I would imagine it's like a little bit more hands-on this season, which is awesome too. A lot of change on the defense. So if the defense isn't as successful, do we have those opportunities that maybe we had this season? There's some of that going on. But at the end of the day, I saw the gamer, man. And there's no question in my mind who I'm picking first if I go in that locker room. It's Lenore Sellers. And I love Arch Manning. I think John Mateer, Nuss. I mean, think of these guys. Taylen Green. These are like just some freak athletes. And so to be at the top of this list, unanimous, I think this is a special, special season for that kid. So, yeah, I'm right there with you.
And I think some of these teams, if they are 9-3 or 10-2, and there's like a debate in the playoff, you know, should we take this 9-3, this 10-2? You know, like it comes down to 3 9-3s. Or I think you take the one with the best quarterback is going to go a long way to picking that team if he's red hot going into the playoff.
Well, that's the one of the greatest what ifs last year, because we had a few of those 9-3 teams. And, you know, I was watching that Notre Dame game, and I couldn't help but ask if South Carolina were out there with that damn defense. And Lenore, I think Sellers would have found plenty of success against that theirs. So, I don't know. I mean, ifs and buts, candies and nuts, we'd have a wonderful Christmas. But I feel like kind of like my Hendon Hooker in 22, you know, I always wondered about, like, what would have happened if this is South Carolina. We'll always have 24 kind of hanging over them.
So let's recap it real quick. Lenore Sellers, 1. DJ Lagway, 2. Garrett Nussmeier, 3. Taylen Green, 4. John Mateer, 5. Arch Manning, 6. Gunnar Stockton, 7. Austin Simmons, 8. Marcel Reed, 9. Ty Simpson, 10. Joey Aguilar, 11. Diego Pavia, 12. Blake Shapen, 13. Bo Prabula, 14. Jackson Arnold, 15. Zach Calzada, 16. Biggest mistake by me.
Arch Manning.
Drinking that orange Kool-Aid.
Yeah. No, I would probably have Arch second behind Lenore's. That's kind of where I would have him. I do think he's special. And I think at the end of the year, you'll be like, damn, I was wrong. I don't know what kind of bet we're going to have, some Texas bet, but we got to have it. That one was probably the biggest miss. And I'll take the second one with Prabula. I think that's another kid that isn't going to be a statue. Odds are he's going to finish the season as a starting quarterback, potentially for a 9-10 win Mizzou team. And I think at the end of the day, we're going to say a lot of that success had to be with him. He's an absolute dog as well. So those are my two biggest misses.
You saw that one highlight. You're like, is the guy.
This is him. I mean, he's got it. I told you, I just need one good half, Mike, and then I can tell you.
All right, anything else before we hop off here?
No, just a quick reminder. This is SEC Mike's list, so please don't tag me in that. I'm muting those notifications. But, no, other than that, Mike, I'm excited to see this one. Let me ask you this, I'll say this. Is there, on both sides, is there one guy that you feel like you could have missed on? Like you're looking at him toward the top of the upper half of your list, and you're saying, yeah, there's a little concern because he could fall off real quick, and then vice versa, under the 7 mark, is there a guy down there that you want, like if he does hit that ceiling, there's no doubt in your mind he's going to be a top 5 quarterback?
One to miss, perhaps. What about Gunnar Stockton, number 7?
Yeah.
I mean, what little we had. I mean, they won the SEC championship with him, but that was a lot of successful running plays. And then the one full shot he got, I don't want to say got exposed, but, I mean, hell, we locked it down. Georgia was going to beat Notre Dame, you know? So what if that was just more of what we're going to get this year? They've got talent down there at quarterback. They'll make the switch if they have to.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like a big leap of faith. So maybe that's one I could got wrong. Austin Simmons, another one. You know, what if he's that guy we saw against Georgia? What if he's that the whole year?
Yeah.
He's probably a top 3 quarterback in this conference. So I'd throw both of those guys. And then someone that could be way wrong, maybe Ty Simpson, maybe Jackson Arnold, and maybe Diego Pavia.
Yeah. This loaded. You know, and it's deep. That's, you know, you look at, like last year, you remember, we were like, well, when's they going to put DJ in? How many times did we say that? It's like the old Nico treatment. Like, we'd watch a Milton game, we're like, when they going to put, and I probably shouldn't have said that. Sorry, Tennessee fans. We just got over that. But you know what I'm saying? But you got one down in Auburn. We've got one in, shit, we got them all over this year. This bunch of sneaky young
Alabama,
talent.
Alabama, Tennessee.
Yeah, kind of hanging out in the, so we may not even, on this list at the end of the year, we may look back and say, well, we missed these names because they didn't start the season. But there's also some potential behind some of these guys.
Yeah, well, I can't wait for it. I'm sure everyone will agree and no one will get upset. You know?
Well, Calzada's he's pissed, you know. And honestly, Arch probably needs a little humble pie. He's been told he's so great, you know. He needs something to put in his locker room to strive for.
All right, we cut it right there, you think?
Yeah.
You want another beer?